Thinking a lot this morning about obedience to the Word of God and the power that comes out of that in our lives. We walk in obedience to His words, to His commands, and to His ordinances. And I'm so blessed this morning that Ida and Monroe have heard the voice of God and are obeying His voice and long to experience a believer's baptism. That's wonderful. Sometimes it's hard to do when you're older and you think, really? Should I do that? And I'm sure that those kind of thoughts went through your mind, Monroe and Ida. And I know that you are right now being blessed tremendously by God because of your decision to say, yes, I will follow His commands and His ordinances. And one of the most powerful ordinances in the Word of God is baptism. And the title of this little message is Baptism Commanded for All Believers. And if you would turn to Acts, Peter just says it so powerfully about baptism and about repentance. He just simply says in chapter 1 or 2, he says, let's see, which verse is it here? I think it's chapter 1. It is chapter 2, verse 38. He says, Then Peter said unto them, and it was a command that God gave him, and it poured out of his mouth. He said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then also, I love the scripture in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, where he says, Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And then what happens? It says, The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's powerful. God longs for us to walk in obedience, and in return, He refreshes us, and He blesses our lives, and we experience His presence every day, and experiencing His presence is just a wonderful thing. Every day you get up and you say, Lord, it's wonderful to be your child, and fill me with your presence today. And it's amazing what happens in your life because of the obedience, the surrender, and the refreshing that God is doing in your heart. I couldn't help but think of an old familiar story with baptism, and I know it's repeated a lot, but it is so powerful. And there's just a simple phrase that is given in this story. And so, you know, baptism is not this big showy thing. No, it's just a beautiful thing of believing God with all your heart. And the story goes like this. Philip, he's standing before God, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord says, Philip, I need you to go to Gaza. I need you to go south. Now, often when you go south, it's not a good thing. But in this situation, going south was a good thing. It's interesting how he says that. He says, let me find the scripture here. Says, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem and Gaza. Now, this time going south was something wonderful that was going to happen. We often use that term, oh boy, that went south. But this time going south was a powerful moment. And Philip, he took off, and I have a feeling that God just picked him up, put him right there. Because it says, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of the great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in verse 27, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he was reading the scripture from Isaiah 53. And he didn't understand it. He says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, he ran. He didn't hesitate. Should I or shouldn't I? No. It says he ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? I mean, what's he talking about here? Who's he talking about? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, please. It's like he's beseeching, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Now I find it interesting that he didn't understand some of this, because according to some of the commentaries, the eunuch was a proselyte. He had embraced the Judaism, and he went to Jerusalem to worship. And then he was heading home, and he began reading this prophecy from Isaiah. And so it's interesting that he was a proselyte and embracing Judaism, but he didn't understand this. And I don't know if the Jews really understood it in their religion. And so here he is, begging for this to be explained to him. And I love what Philip does here. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And here was a beautiful opportunity, because that whole scripture was about Jesus giving his life. It was a prophecy of Jesus giving his life for us and for the eunuch and for all those Gentiles or Jews. Here is the story from Isaiah 53, the prophecy. And so Philip, it says, he preached unto him Jesus, because that was the whole text. That was the whole reason why that passage was penned and prophesied by Isaiah. So preaching unto him Jesus meant he gave him a wonderful picture of the gospel and of hope and who Jesus was. All those things came in there, and he preached Jesus. He didn't preach any doctrine. He didn't preach anything else but Jesus, and I find that so powerful. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I love what Philip says next. Now, a lot of the translations totally omit this phrase, and I don't know why. Some say it wasn't the original manuscript, but it's a powerful phrase. Philip just simply said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart, yes, that's all that's required. Believing with all your heart, with no reservation, complete surrender, as we were singing this morning about all to Jesus, I surrender. And then the eunuch's reply was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away again for his next assignment. And it said, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Powerful story, and it's a simple story, and yet it baptism shouldn't be a big, whatever you want to call it. It's just something beautiful, simple, and believing with all your heart. And it's very much needed in our walk with Christ, because our warfare today is not against flesh and blood. It is a day-by-day spiritual battle for us all during our stay here on earth. Since God's word is one of our offensive weapons, as he talks about in Ephesians 6, it's reasonable to conclude that we derive some spiritual protection from obeying it. And let's just turn to that for a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. And it goes on to say in verse 13. Let's just go back a little bit. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying also always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, baptism is part of the Word of God, and it's part. And if God is saying here that one of our offensive weapons is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, then we can conclude that It is reasonable to conclude that we derive some spiritual protection from obeying it. This is especially true of the New Testament typological ordinances, and that's what baptism is. It's a typological ordinance. Through baptism, communion, and headship, we are demonstrating to the spirit world our firm commitment and position in Christ. In outwardly showing our position in Christ, we limit Satan's access to tempt us. You ever think about that? When we obey the powerful, because the ordinances of that God lays out are so connected with of how we're made up. We are threefold man. We are body, soul, and spirit. And the ordinances so much bring protection to our body, to bring protection to our soul and to our spirit when we walk in obedience to that. And it stops Satan from many of his vicious attacks on our lives. And I guess we sometimes don't realize that. We think, oh, it's an ordinance of the church. It's law. I don't need that in my life. No, we need the ordinances of God within our hearts and within our lives, because it's part of the offensive weapons that God wants to give us to fight temptation, to fight spiritual warfare, and baptism is so connected with that. Baptism commanded for all believers displays the burial of the old man and our resurrection into newness of life in Christ. As Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, such a beautiful passage about baptism. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, I often think about what happened to me when I was committed and surrendered and experienced baptism. There was like a freedom that came over me as I obeyed, not really understanding it all, but as I thought about crucifying, dying with Christ, and that I could experience because of that the power of his resurrection, as Romans says it so well. As I thought about that and as I experienced it, it truly was a life freeing experience, walking in obedience and committing myself to Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus no matter what. You know, you often see people struggling and struggling and struggling in their Christian walk. And I'm not saying I was without struggle, but when we walk in obedience to the things that God has laid out, and how important the ordinances are, and how baptism is one of those, and how important it is, and how Peter said that everyone needs to repent and be baptized. We don't realize when we push baptism away, we're not ready for that and ready for that. I think we're surprised sometimes all the different things that we're hit with by the enemy. And I think when we, and I shouldn't use the word think because the word of God is clear, but when we push away the ordinances that God has laid down, we open our lives up for the spirit world, because the spirit world sees that we are not really given up. We are not really surrendered. And when we openly surrender and we verbally proclaim Christ and we experience it in water and people witness it, they see, and the spirit world sees it too, that we are not playing games. We are serious in following Christ with all our hearts. If you believe this with all your heart, Philip said, you can be baptized. Without reservation, complete surrender. By this act we show to men and angels that we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that we have now been placed in Christ by God the Father. I find it interesting in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, it talks about, let me just read that to you. It connects baptism with our conscience. I find that very interesting. And the conscience is so much tied in with our spirit. And it's amazing when we surrender to baptism how it connects our spirit with God's spirit. And it's part of the threefold makeup of who we are, body, soul, and spirit. First Peter 3:21-22. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto us. Connecting baptism with a good conscience. And that good conscience comes because of full surrender. It comes within us because of obedience. There's nothing in our conscience that's troubling us. We are free. And it does free us, our spirit, so that our spirit can meet with God's spirit or connect with God's spirit. The seat of our conscience is the Spirit. It is in our spirits that God's Spirit meets with us and quickens us, as Ephesians talks about, that we would be quickened from the dead. And I testify of that today in my own life. I was kind of young when I was baptized, and I was 13. I remember it very vividly, yet to this day. And my heart was so desiring to follow Jesus no matter what, because I had seen the awful devastation of sin in my dad's life and walking away from God and not surrendering. And I wanted to surrender. I did not want to walk that same path as my father. I said, God, I want to experience all of you. And if you have commanded us to repent and to be baptized and to experience your resurrection power, I want that with all my might. But it first has to come with a surrender and a dying to in our hearts, no matter what people think. You know, to some people it looks foolish. We get plunged into water. Doesn't matter. The foolishness thought, men think things are foolish, but to God they're not foolish. To God they're rich, they're powerful, they set us free. And they open up a power within our lives that we've never experienced before. And that happened to me, I testify of that. Praise God. Freeing my spirit so that my spirit can connect with God's spirit and give a powerful message to the spirit world. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And it's amazing how when that is in place, how the devil has a hard time coming in. He does sometimes because there are moments that we find ourselves distracted. But it's not like it was before we gave our lives to Christ. It's different. It's so different. So I'm here to encourage anyone, if you haven't experienced a believer's baptism, this is a wonderful moment for you to say, yes, I want to be baptized, and I want to experience God's resurrection and power in my life by dying and going under in baptism. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand that, but when we say yes, we have said no to the flesh and yes to Jesus. Thought there was one more scripture I wanted to read here. Oh, I know, it was one that Monroe shared with me this morning, and I thought it was so powerful. That's a very familiar one. We've often read it over and over, but often we forget the powerful verse that it is. that I may know him, in Philippians 3, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Yes. And that's what I think is happening here with Ida and Monroe this morning. They are reaching forth unto these things which are before, and they're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. So as we conclude this message,